from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this past weekend, this weekend that we're in, except if your station is running the program on an unauthorized date, the Bush administration dispatched its two top spokespersons on law enforcement, homeland security, the whole security magilla, to reassure us. Tom Ridge and John Ashcroft went all over the Sunday Yak shows to say everything's fine. We have enough personnel. We have enough troops in Iraq. We have enough this. We have enough that. We have enough money in the budget. We have enough resources to do the job. And I was almost reassured until this exchange between George Stephanopoulos and Attorney General Ashcroft.
Can you estimate how many al-Qaeda activities have been disrupted since September 11th?
Well, I know, I feel confident that more than 100 activities on the part of al-Qaeda have been interrupted, disrupted, and otherwise interrupted around the world.
Interrupted, disrupted, and otherwise interrupted. Clearly, John Ashcroft was fishing. He felt there was something he wanted. Was it pre-ruption, pre-rupted, post-rupted, de-rupted, misrupted, mal-rupted? There's clearly something missing. Preterupted. You know, so there's, he felt it. I feel it listening to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the state of the situation today is that we have enough troops, we have enough resources, we have enough air marshals, we have enough luggage inspectors to fight the war on terror. But we don't have enough words. Hello, welcome to the show.
He was killed by a cellular phone explosion. They scattered his ashes across the ocean. The water was used to make baby lotion. The wheels of promotion were set into motion. But the sun still shines in the summertime. I'll be yours if you'll be mine. I tried to change, but I changed my mind. Think I'll have another glass of Mexican wine. Tried to change, but I changed my mind.
think I'll have another glass of Mexican wine, because the sun still shines in the summertime. I'll be yours if you'll be mine. I tried to change, but I changed my mind. Think I'll have another glass of Mexican wine. Think I'll have another glass of Mexican wine. Won't you have another glass of Mexican wine?
Did I do good and did I do bad, thinking that you might be a man? Well, you looked so strong, but you act so young. I guess that you don't understand anything. I guess that you just don't understand. And you told me of your story, how you love something finer than me. Well, you would not know Christ if you met in paradise. So darling, don't put the blame on me. On me. Well, you have been hurt all of your life. You've been neglected from the, you're an unhappy man with an unhappy wife, unaware of your own lack of worth, unaware of your own lack of worth. And you tell me of your story, how you love something finer than me. Well, you would not know Christ you met in paradise. So darling, don't put the blame on me. On me. Well, I don't believe you when you say you've been hurt and it's best to live alone. You're an unhappy king in a country of one, governing ghosts from your throne alone. You're governing ghosts from your throne. And you told me of your story, how you love something finer than me. Well, you would not know Christ if you met in paradise. So darling, don't put the blame on me. And you tell me of your story, how you love something finer than me. And you would not know Christ if you met in paradise. So darling, don't put the blame on me.
Thank you.
Non-rupted. Pre-rupted. Re-rupted. Post-rupted. Anti-disestablish-rupted. And my favorite, since I just came back from Prague a few weeks ago, defenis-rupted. Those are some possible new words for. Hey, hello, welcome from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. We're just trying to find some new words for John Ashcroft to complete that trilogy that he so feelingly recited to George Stephanopoulos about more than 100 al-Qaeda operations being interrupted, disrupted, and interrupted. But while we proceed with that, let's hear the apologies of the week, shall we?
We're so sorry.
And by let's hear, I mean you hear Al Reed. What do you think? Fair division of duty? The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee issued a quick apology to Representative Bill Janklow, Republican of South Dakota, for a Friday news release admonishing him for his actions regarding a bill on veterans' benefits. They said he should sign a discharge petition that would deliver the bill to a House vote. Within hours, the committee issued an apology noting the heart tests Janklow was undergoing last week at the Mayo Clinic. He ended up not having open-heart surgery, but at the time the committee issued the original release, he hadn't announced his good news. Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania commissioners have fired their prison warden after meeting with him to discuss the use of inmate labor at his home. Wednesday's firing of Warden Thomas Gilhooley, who'd been on the job for 13 years, is effective immediately. A straight grand jury has been investigating possible criminal misconduct at the prison. Gilhooley, who made about $51,000 a year as warden, said he initiated the meeting to discuss, quote, my use of inmate labor. As a final act as warden after 20 years of service to Lackawanna County, I offer a sincere apology to the commissioners, prison board and staff, and the people of Lackawanna County for this indiscretion, using prison labor for free at his home. When Australia's oldest former test cricket captain and invincible Bill Brown had trouble booking into a Melbourne hotel ahead of a major charity dinner, fundraiser Robert Swan Richards got on the phone to hotel staff and spoke his mind. Speaking his mind included threatening to blow up the Crown Casino Hotel. The throwaway comment has cost the colorful cricketing identity an apology, $400, and an explanation to the Queen. Saskatchewan's plan to petition the United States to reopen borders to Canadian beef stumbled Wednesday when an internal government document flippantly referred to U.S. President George W. Bush as Shrub. Re-petition to President Shrub is the title of the memo sent to legislature members by new Democratic Party researcher Ted Bowen. It was sent to media outlets by mistake. Shrub is Molly Ivan's dismissive nickname for President Bush, reads the P.S. When contacted about the memo, Bowen, an American with a thick Southern accent, insisted that referring to Bush as a shrub is common where he comes from. In a way, it's my heritage. Nobody calls anybody but their right name in Texas. Everybody has a nickname, Bowen said. I should not have done it, and I apologize. So it's in my culture, but I apologize. The memo is the latest high-level Canadian insult to Bush and Americans that cattle industry representatives say are not helping the cause of Canadian beef. Bud Harper has resigned as director of the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management after an inappropriate joke email he sent department employees was leaked to a Little Rock radio talk show host. The email, which Harper did not write, but which he forwarded to staff members of the Department of Emergency Management, was a facetious prayer that included references to illegal aliens and welfare recipients. Tom?
Illegal aliens?
Yeah, thanks. According to a staff member, the email was sent out several weeks ago, but found its way to radio personality Pat Lynch earlier this week. Hey, Pat, how you doing? Pat, did you get 4 hours out of that? Governor Mike Huckabee issued a statement Wednesday afternoon saying he had accepted Harper's apology and resignation, which were tendered late Tuesday evening for the insensitive and appropriate email. Quote, Mr. Harper has had a distinguished record and has provided excellent leadership during numerous crises, including major tornadoes, ice storms, floods, and 9/11. And I regret that his service with the state must end in this manner, the governor said. Nevertheless, the tone of the email was indefensible, and the depiction of racial stereotypes was not only wrong, but is patently false regarding people of any ethnic heritage. We strive to demonstrate a sense of humor in this administration, but racial stereotyping by state leaders is simply not funny and must be dig the new verb, ladies and gentlemen, must be consequenced, unquote. Consequence-rupted, perhaps. In, as Harper, in his resignation letter, he's 72, by the way, said, in spite of all best intentions and dedication, we sometimes make mistakes. Some of these mistakes are so simple that it seems unreal that they can carry us into a situation I must now address. Among the lines of the poem, quote, welfare checks, they make you wealthy. Medicaid, it keep you healthy. Dominican Republic President Hipólito Mejía has apologized after a Brazilian flag containing what the South Americans described as dreadful mistakes was used in the opening ceremony of the Pan American Games. Are they still playing those? Man. Not enough games. What do you think? The Brazilian Olympic Committee has received an apology from the President of the Dominican Republic, Hipólito Mejía, over the episode of the Brazilian flag, said the Olympic Committee. The President of the Republic has also ordered the organizing committee to check the Brazilian flags, which will be used in other venues to avoid further mistakes. The Brazilian Olympic Committee now considers this episode closed. Brazil had earlier launched an official protest to games organizers regarding the disrespectful manner in which the Brazilian flag was treated by the local organizing committee. This organization did not bother checking the Brazilian flag, allowing it to be made with dreadful mistakes. Brazilian delegation had considered boycotting the athletes' parade, but decided to go ahead out of respect for the Olympic and Pan-American spirit. The Brazilian Olympic Committee president, Carlos Nuzman, described the... Nuzman described the flag as unacceptable and urged the committee to ensure that the flags of other nations were correct. Brazil's flag consists of a yellow diamond on a green background with a blue globe in the middle. It also displays the motto, Order and Progress. In the flag used for the opening ceremony, the three color elements were out of proportion. Attention, Mr. Nuzman. An order of nuns headquartered in Maryland has apologized for its role in Irish laundries depicted in the controversial film The Magdalene Sisters. The movie, which has been criticized by conservative Catholic groups, was released nationally last week. It tells the story of three women who in the 1960s were forced to work under abusive conditions. In a statement issued from their Silver Spring, Maryland headquarters, the Sisters of Mercy of the Americas, 5,000 members around the world, said the laundries represent, quote, a time in the history of the Catholic Church and religious orders of which we are not proud. As women religious, that's what it says, as women religious, I guess they're putting the... adjective after the noun here in the Latin style. As women religious, committed to mercy and justice throughout the world, we grieve with all victims of the Magdalene laundries and pray they experience God's comfort and healing in their lives. A spokeswoman said the apology was an attempt to fully disclose what happened. It's not proper to hide from anything, said spokeswoman Stacy Royster. We're all human. We've all made mistakes. We do reach out and apologize to anyone who may have been abused at the hands of our sisters or any sisters. Sisters of Murphy. The Sisters of Mercy operated at least three laundries in Ireland, all of which are now closed. But how are you supposed to get your clothes clean in Ireland, then, if they can't abuse some... The order also operated a Magdalene Asylum in San Francisco. Responsibility for this facility, which was not a laundry, was turned over to another order in 1932. Not a laundry, sign says over there. An aide to Orange County, New York... Executive Edward Diana is under fire after he and his friends invited some of the nation's brightest young Republicans to a booze-soaked sex bash in Boston. Sex bash in Boston? Are you kidding me? This started at the Young Republicans National Convention July 11th when Orange County, New York executive Diana's 24-year-old staff assistant, Carl Brabenek, was the honoree of flyers distributed by his friends for lots of beer, liquor, and sex at a party dubbed Carl Palooza 03. Copies of the incriminating invites have surfaced all over Orange County, New York, prompting cries of disgust from women's groups, county legislators, and fellow Republicans. The furor reached a fever pitch this week as Diana asked Brabenek to step down as president of the Orange County Young Republicans. Diana was not available for comment, but issued a written statement. There's no excuse for the fact that an inappropriate flyer was distributed by friends of Mr. Brabenek without his knowledge. As the father of two young women, I am morally upset by the content of the flyer and expressed my outrage to Mr. Brabenek. Brabenek issued his own statement. I had no prior knowledge of this flyer as it was created and distributed by friends of mine as a joke. However, I truly believe the content was completely unacceptable and in bad taste. I offer my sincerest apologies to any people it might have offended. Brabenek called the planned bash to mark his 24th birthday a surprise. The event has been listed on the Young Republican website for weeks with instructions to call Carl at his home. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Some sincere, some just required by conditions, circumstances, don't you know? Because things must be consequenced. It's a copy. Yes, of course, it's a copyrighted feature. Why would you ask? We haven't had this for a while. It's a Sunday. Most areas of the country, that's the day when British newspapers try to scare their readers. So why should this program be any different? Let's get scared, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get scared. Let's get scared.
More than a million fish have escaped from fish farms over the past 6 years, threatening the survival of Britain's declining wild salmon populations, according to a British newspaper. The number of escapes revealed by new British government figures has reinforced fears that farmed salmon are steadily killing off their wild counterparts by interbreeding, competing for food, and by passing on infections. This follows a report this week that farmed salmon have three, four, five times as many PCBs. Ask your parents. Than wild salmon. Farmed salmon have much more PCB content than wild salmon. The British statistics also show that since 1999, at least 4.4 million salmon and trout have been killed in incidents involving poisonous growths of algae in the sea and invasions by jellyfish. These figures, which exclude the millions of salmon and trout that die in cages each year from infectious diseases and parasites, have led to renewed criticisms about the treatment of farmed fish. At least seven mass escapes last year involved salmon from fish farms infected by a potentially fatal virus. Conservationists link these escapes caused by storms, broken cages, and seals cutting open cages, and the regular outbreak of disease to a steep decline in wild salmon in the North Atlantic. Wild salmon numbers have plunged from 12,000 tons caught in the mid-1970s to about 2,500 tons in 2000. Now, new research by Irish marine biologists has shown that young salmon created by the interbreeding of wild and farm fish are dying out in the Atlantic before they can mate. These hybrids are also producing fewer young, suggesting that if crossbreeding continues, pure wild salmon will die out. Not scared? From the Glasgow Sunday Herald, pure uranium oxide, which could be used in the making of a dirty nuclear bomb capable of killing countless people, is being offered for sale in a Basra, Iraq souk. For $250,000, senior American officials have confirmed that rampant looting was discovered by U.S. Marines arriving at the Al-Tawaitha nuclear site on April 7th. A spokeswoman for the International Atomic Energy Agency says as many as 400 potentially lethal radioactive sources are still missing from the inventory at Al-Tawaitha. The Sunday Herald source, who cannot be named for fear of reprisals, was approached by black marketeers in Basra and asked if he would help sell the material. He said the cylinders are about a foot long, gray in color with a red band around the top. The skull and crossbones warning logo and the label pure uranium oxide are clearly marked in English. It's thought to have come from Al-Tawaitha, 15 miles southeast of Baghdad. A leading nuclear consultant says the size and description of the cylinder suggests this is enriched uranium. A well-informed terrorist might be able to construct a crude nuclear device. Now I'm scared. I don't know about you. I don't care about you. I'm scared. But wait, there's more. This isn't exactly an apology, but it's regret. An honest bureaucratic error was probably to blame for United States advisory warning of possible terror attacks in Australia. A spokesman for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security said the Australian government's comments were inaccurate, and there would be no revised warning. But the Australian foreign minister said the Australian government had been told the U.S. would amend its travel warning. The Director General of Australian Security, said the warning issued by U.S. Homeland Security did not accurately reflect the available intelligence. We said there was intelligence about forthcoming al-Qaeda attacks possibly originating in Australia. That somehow got translated into happening in Australia. The Aussies don't want it. It's okay if they... Oh, here, more scares, though. Although DVDs have a reputation for longer life than video cassettes, a recent study has concluded that a majority of video rental stores are reporting that damage to their inventory is more of a problem with DVDs than with cassettes. In fact, according to the study for Video Store magazine, disc damage currently costs rental outfits $50 million annually. I don't know if that's damage by users or inherently in the DVD itself, that DVD rot. We talked about CD rot a little while ago. This could be DVD. Oh, and genetically modified crops can be more damaging to neighboring flora and fauna than ordinary strains of sugar beet, corn, and oilseed rape, the British government's farm trials have shown. The experiments have disproved the theory that genetically modified plants would interact with other species in the same way as their conventional counterparts. In particular, the impact on insects, weeds, and other plants has proved radically different. Some have destroyed more insects and weeds than conventional varieties, although one crop, believed to be corn, is thought to have had a more positive effect on killing unwanted common weeds. Maybe they're better at killing weeds. Why would that scare anybody? Relax. Hey. Relax, ladies and gentlemen. Oops. More scares. This is a good scare week, I'm telling you. But don't take my word for it. Talking on a cell phone while driving is more dangerous than being over the legal alcohol limit, according to new research. Test by scientists at the Transport Research Library said drivers on cell phones had slower reaction times and stopping times than those under the influence of alcohol. And it said hands-free kits were almost as dangerous as handheld phones. Reaction times are nearly 50% slower when talking on a cell phone. Drivers were also less able to maintain a constant speed and found it more difficult to keep a safe distance from the car in front. And, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're not scared enough, and I can't fathom how that could possibly be at this point in time, William Perry, former Secretary of Defense under President Clinton, warns that Pyongyang, North Korea, may have acquired 6 to 8 nuclear weapons by the end of the year, allowing the regime to target Japan, South Korea, and even Hawaii. I think he said we are losing control of the situation. The nuclear program underway in North Korea poses an imminent danger of nuclear weapons being detonated in American cities, unquote, William Perry. Relax.
You know, we're all light. Yeah, red We have so much more coming up on this week's edition of Le Show, but first it's special guest time. And, of course, the most special guest to grace these halls ever is a friend and colleague, or at least associate. I think that's fair. Ralph the Talking Computer. Ralph, welcome.
Hello, Harry.
Hello.
Thank you, and let me welcome you to my new feature, Voices in the News.
Wait. You've got a theme.
Yes, I do. Kinda upbeat.
Couldn't you get a more contemporary thing?
Well, it's wild.
What?
That's exactly what I asked your intern.
That's wild. I don't have an intern.
Then that would explain it.
Yeah, I guess it...
Anywho,
yeah.
Voices in the News is my way of spotlighting the interesting stories about people with interesting voices.
Wow, it's like a high concept, kind of.
Kinda. Medium high, maybe.
All right, well, who's your first voice in the news, Ralph?
Thanks, Harry.
You're welcome.
Today's first voice in the news is Jane Barbie. Or should I say was Jane Barbie, since she passed on this leave.
I think you should still say is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is.
Good.
Jane Barbie, who died this week in Roswell, Georgia, was the world's undisputed telephone voice queen.
Sure.
According to news accounts. Of course.
Yeah.
I'd call her the last of the voice recording humans, but that's just me.
Well, and she wasn't the last.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Don't get all New York Times with me, babe.
All right, but let me be repertorial enough to ask you any interesting facts about her life that you have downloaded?
According to your local dog trainer, in the 1980s and 90s, Barbie was heard on 90% of intercept messages, the recording played when something is wrong with the phone number, and 60% of automated time and temperature calling programs.
Wow.
And, if you ask me, she sounded more bogus than a Microsoft patch.
Well, so editorializing is part of Voices in the News?
Oh, you bet. I got your fair and balanced right here.
Ralph, did you ever... talk to the lady shall I use a term of art and say in person?
Actually, Harry, I did.
Huh.
When I was the morning news talking computer in Dallas.
You mean you weren't new when I got you?
Refurb. I've got a couple of sound files of that conversation. You mind if I trigger them?
No, that's fine. I just want to call a guy. Go ahead. Here's Ralph, the talking computer, in conversation with the late Jane Barbie.
Hello. Miss Barbie?
Hello, Ralph. The time is 8:18 exactly.
That's interesting, but I actually know what time it is. What I wanted to talk about is your amazing career.
Well?
I'm sorry if I'm calling at breakfast time.
Oh, that's okay. My menu has recently changed.
I'm sure it has. Is there a particular recording that was your favorite? Or is that a dumb question?
Oh, no. There's nothing dumb about it. I guess my favorite would have to be, please listen to the following options. I needed to get just the right tone of inviting without being intimidating. That was hard, but I think I got it.
Well, as we say around the CPU... pretty good for a biped.
Thank you.
Now, Jane, some people may think that your way of speaking is, shall we say, a bit on the interesting side.
Nice inflection.
Thanks.
Ralph, that's because over the years, I've had to speak in such a way that each word or word phrase could be snipped out of context and used in another context. That's, I guess, had a profound influence on my life.
Boy, she could say that again.
Au contraire.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Ralph, any other voices in the news this week?
Why, you bet, Harry. That's why this isn't just a featurette, but a full-fledged
feature. Sure.
My second voice of the week is Congressman Daryl Issa, who's succeeded in getting his petition on the ballot to recall California Governor Gray Davis.
Well, I think we all know about that.
Well, aren't we? just a smartest bunch.
No need for the attitude. Just why is Daryl Issa a voice in the news?
Hey, well, come for the feature, stay for the attitude.
Well,
anywho,
yeah.
Daryl Issa spent a pantload of his own money to get the signatures for this recall.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he make his money? In the car alarm business.
That's right.
And what was his product?
It was
the Viper.
The Viper, right.
The one with the voice that said, step away from the car.
Right.
And who was that voice? Not yours truly.
Okay.
You can bet your sleek DNA.
All right, so your point, Ralph, is...
My point is both this leak's voices in the news prove that talking computers have a lot more to fear from humans than vice versa. Mm. Everybody's afraid we're out to get their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But after this leak's voices in the news, maybe you'd like to walk a mile in my footings.
Well, maybe and maybe not. In any case, I think that's all the time we have, so let's have your theme. And thanks, Ralph the Talking Computer, for this premiere episode of You Want to Announce Yourself Out?
Let me just do this.
Okay, but we...
Step away from the car. Now. And now so long from voices in the news.
You gotta copyright this.
Music is the basis of human races. Today the pace is a modernistic new note. Before the war they never tore off a blue note. Nowadays a discord is not a miscord, and that and this chord make up a futuristic hymn. I learned to feel modern, appeal, watch it creep in under your skin. Futuristic rhythm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jackson, as in his continuing efforts to prove he's not through yet, he's inked a deal to become the inspiration for a line of clothing in Japan. Yeah, I'd say that was about right. I got censored for saying something like that in the L.A. Times, the dog trainer, which is why, of course. Japanese clothing manufacturer Wakita says it will create a line of suits and formal wear that will be sold in department stores throughout the country. Jackson-themed suits and jackets will be available by next spring, with suits priced at about $500 each. Hey, that's a budget line. The attire will bear Jackson's MJ logo. And no, that doesn't mean something different in Japan. They don't have letters. No word on what exactly a Michael Jackson-inspired suit will look like, but Wakita officials say they plan to tone things down from the stage style. You know those clothes Michael wears on the stage? They won't be quite that wild because we do have to sell in bulk to regular people, said spokesman Junichi Ota. And there will be no glove. Jackson gets final approval on all designs. I think he has the time to go through them. This is his first men's clothing line. No word on how much he makes from this venture. Jackson recently settled a potentially embarrassing lawsuit that threatened to make his allegedly dwindling assets a matter of public record. All right. Could look like Michael Jackson if you go to Japan. America has warned the government of Niger, or if you like, Niger, to keep out of the dispute over claims that Saddam Hussein sought to buy uranium for his nuclear weapons program from the impoverished West African state. You remember last week, the prime minister totally denied the story. Herman Cohen, a former assistant secretary of state for Africa, called on Mamadou Tanja, Niger's president, in the capital last week to relay the message from Washington, according to senior Niger government officials. One said, quote, "Let's say Mr. Cohen put a friendly arm around the president to say sorry about the forged documents, but then squeezed his shoulder hard enough to convey the message, let's hear no more about this from your government. Basically, he was telling Niger to shut up." Unquote. That's from a conservative British newspaper that supported the war. American officials denied there had been any attempt to gag the Niger government. The official of the government, however, said there was a clear attempt to stop any more embarrassing stories coming out of Niger. Mr. Cohen did not spell it out, he said, but everybody in Niger knows what the consequences of upsetting America would be. We are the world's second poorest country. We depend on international aid to survive. And the war to topple Saddam Hussein may have damaged the campaign against international terrorism by driving Muslims into the arms of al-Qaeda, according to a committee of members of parliament in Britain. As deaths of U.S. soldiers mount in Iraq and complaints from GIs grow, the Pentagon is clarifying its policy for what soldiers can say to reporters and the procedures for differentiating between combat and non-combat deaths. U.S. Army spokesman Peter Christake said a combat death is any death related to direct fire from the enemy, indirect fire, or artillery. 20 or more U.S. soldiers have died in vehicle accidents since May and are considered non-combat deaths, despite some reports that many followed hostile actions against the vehicle. Wouldn't that mean that Jessica Lynch had non-combat injuries? Wouldn't that mean... wouldn't that mean something about the Purple Heart? And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of a survivor. You know that the Pentagon announced this week plans to start up a futures market in terrorism and other unseemly acts in the Middle East on the basis that markets amassing the power of many individuals with many sources of information, markets have an uncanny predictive power. Yeah, that's why they all predicted the bust in the dot-com situation. This was this followed a previous bright idea from the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, for the Total Information Awareness Project that would attempt to collect every known factoid about every human in the United States and pull it all together. That agency has until recently been headed by former Iran-Contra figure Admiral John Poindexter. According to Friday's New York Times, he's resigning. He'll be stepping down in the next few weeks, according to a defense official, after the disclosure of that futures market in terrorism. Of course, the flurry of criticism that followed that announcement was followed, in fact, in turn by the Pentagon saying, forget it, we're not going to do that. So John Poindexter leaves government once again.
So, my friend, things seem a little different down here at the shore, don't they?
Well,
you know, I remember when I was convicted on a technicality, before I got freed on a technicality. I'd come down here and just let all that Iran-Contra stuff float away like so much used kelp.
Well, that's fine, but what I was going to say is that I feel just as crappy here as I did back in D.C. And I've given 35 of my most cleverly calculating years to this government, and this is the thanks I get. A pre-written letter of resignation for me to sign and a box of golf joke cocktail napkins from the president? I mean, you've got to be kidding.
Hey, pal, look, people don't understand this about us. You know, they think because we wore the uniform that we're some kind of automaton.
Mm-hmm.
But damn it, Admiral,
yeah.
We're artists. Like all artists, we're always ahead of our times. You don't think right about now the notion of finding and encouraging Iranian moderates? Doesn't that seem like a neat idea?
Well, not the part about selling the missiles, no. I still don't think the public is caught up with that.
Well, so you had a great idea in total information awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The public's probably going to catch up to that right after the next election or the next battle in this war, whichever comes first. And as for the market and terrorism futures, listen, my friend.
Yeah.
If you want to break some big-time eggs in the war on terror, you got to make a few omelets along the way. This one was a Denver.
With cheese.
With cheese.
I know, Wally, but the frustrating thing was all the ideas we had in the pipeline that are...
Yeah.
Now they're never going to see the light of a classified document.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to sell quagmire futures because the market is a great predictor of situations that beget terminal mission creep.
Well, see... That's brilliant. Look, Admiral, you got a great military retirement situation available to you if you want it, or you certainly must have your pick of conservative institutes to give in office, a serious stipend, more serious expense budget, and a way to have your ideas be heard by
the same people who just had George Tenet's cojones for lunch. No thanks, Ali. I guess I'm just the wrong race and sex to be protected by this administration from the left-wing jackals at the Wall Street Journal.
You're talking about Dr. Rice?
We're not talking about Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh, watch out there. Those little sand crabs can bite.
Yeah. You know, 5 years from now, when the notion of the Pentagon knowing everything about every citizen seems as normal as every day as Alestrin snack foods... You think anybody's going to remember where that idea came from and who came up with that concept? Yeah, I should just go panda hunting and forget it.
Panda hunting?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that sounds like a great show for the National Geographic Channel. You want me to have my people give them a call?
Your people? Seems to me like they couldn't even help you keep your radio show. What are they going to...
Oh, no, now listen, my friend. The radio show had served its purpose. I was never going to be the next Rush Limbaugh with my own line of ties and all that. I moved on.
Yeah.
I'm on Fox every week. I'm writing a novel.
A novel?
Yeah. Yeah, Betsy's always said I have a flair for fiction. And Admiral, sir, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I've always thought Mark Furman set the standard for coming back from public adversity. Well, sir... He wrote a novel. Seems like a neat idea.
Yeah, we had this piece of software we were going to sell to local police departments, run a suicide futures market in their own communities so they'd have a better idea of how to deploy their ambulance fleets.
John, can I call you John?
I guess.
Thank you, sir. John, you want this Marine's best estimate? After the election, you may well be getting a call from Dick Cheney or Don Rumsfeld offering you your job back with a nice little salary bump. Hang in there, my friend.
Maybe I'll write a novel.
There you go. Come on, race you to the pier.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my thanks to everybody I ran into in Chicago who is so pleasant and encouraging. I think I must have met about half the radio audience for this broadcast in Chicago. I was impressed. Anyway, thanks to you. Thanks to the rest of you. Thanks to all of you for listening. But that's going to conclude this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America on the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz, across North America via Sirius satellite radio. You cannot be Sirius satellite radio. And around the world via the internet, wherever you are, whenever you want it, at two different locations, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. And it would be just like the government of Niger shutting up and pronouncing it Niger, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. The show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Hey, and apropos of travel, a Le Show aviation security note. Did you know you don't have to open your laptop case to put your computer in a separate container? In Europe, a British airport security screener said, "Ah, we can see what you got in there." And you don't have to take off your shoes anywhere else. Just information, ladies. It's all just information. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.